Today we're going to consider yet another ordinary person that God used in an extraordinary way. The story of Jehoshaphat is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 17 through chapter 22. At the beginning of his reign, we read that in chapter 17, verse 3, the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because in his early years he walked in the ways his father David had followed. He did not consult the Baals, but sought the God of his father and followed his commands, rather than the practices of Israel. The Lord established the kingdom under his control, and all Judah brought gifts to Jehoshaphat, so he had great wealth and honor. Verse 6 says, his heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. Furthermore, he removed the high places and the Asherah poles from Judah. So we read here that Jehoshaphat did a lot to restore and reform the nation of Judah. Later on, he would form an alliance with the evil king Ahab. You can read about that if you read on. And the Lord would reprimand him for it. But God continued to bless him because of the good that he had done and because of his heart for God. Now I want you to open your Bible or device to chapter 20 of, again, 2 Chronicles. We'll be reading some major portions from that text. God's people were being threatened by the Amorites here, and we've been finding that again and again. Wherever they would turn away from him for a period of time, then they would have people come against them, and they would suffer because of that. And here the Amorites are threatening them, and verse 2 says that some men reported to the king that a vast army was coming against them. Verse 3 says, alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They've lived in it. They've even built a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us with the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress. And hear this, and you will hear us and save us. But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them, and we did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance? Oh, God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. Pausing there, how many of us have felt that we were powerless against an attack of some kind? We were at a loss as to what to do about whatever the problem was that was facing us. Maybe it was a financial crisis or a physical diagnosis. Perhaps even now there could be an attack on your character or an assault against your family for some reason. Something, though, is devastating. You're worried about it. You're concerned about it. Could be your battle with an addiction. Whatever the case, it robs you. This threat robs you of sleep at night and troubles you during the day. What do you do? What do you do? Do as Jehoshaphat did. First, resolve to inquire of the Lord about it. Isn't that what he did? It's the first thing he did. God, what am I going to do? Better maybe, what would you want me to do in this situation, in this circumstance? As Jehoshaphat did that, he called on the rest of the people to do the same thing with prayer and fasting. When God's people petition him together, the devil trembles. And the heavens rejoice. The Spirit of the Lord came upon a Levite at this time named Jehaziel, inspired him to give this reply to Jehoshaphat in verses 15 through 17. Now remember, this is a word coming from the Lord to the prophet. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle's not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They'll be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you'll find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not need to have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Again, repeating, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. The word of the Lord for those who are frightened and anxious today, I believe, is the same. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Do not be afraid. Why? The battle belongs to the Lord. Seriously? I say yes, and 1,000 times yes. Yet don't miss this. Jehoshaphat was told not to be afraid or discouraged, but he was also told not to run from his fears, but to face them. Don't we usually want to run from what we're afraid of? Don't we want to hide from whatever's facing us? But he was told not to run, but to face it. Why? Well, I believe it's a sign of faith that sets the stage for God to show what he can do once we admit there's nothing we can do. And isn't that what he did? He said, I'm powerless. I don't know what to do here. What would that look like for us today in our circumstance, in our situations? Maybe it would mean that we show up in court if we're charged, or we personally confront our attackers if we're being accused of something or condemned or criticized. Maybe it means we meet our oncologist and discuss options, or put out a resume when we feel like, well, there's no jobs available, there's nothing I'm qualified. Maybe it means we put it out anyway. In each and every scenario, we go forward trusting not in our strength, our ability, our wisdom, but in that of the Lord of heaven. It's an important thing for us to realize when we're facing some vast enemy, something that's beyond our ability, that we admit that. We recognize that. That we can't fix it ourselves. Anybody ever have a problem with that? Anybody, any control freaks out there? Anybody has a problem surrendering sometimes our situation? Well, we need to be like Jehoshaphat. And again, face the truth that we need help, divine help. We need to pray and wait as we do. And as he calls us to do, then we need to do. I'm going to say that again. We need to pray and we wait. And as we do, we need to do what he calls us to do. It's a lot of do's, isn't it? But again, it's not that we're taking over, but we're listening to him. We're submitting. We're surrendering to what he tells us to do. Even if what he tells us to do is nothing other than to watch what he will do. And sometimes that is what we need to do. We need to go and be prepared and put ourselves in a place to, okay, God, I'm depending on you. I'm trusting on you. Tell me what to do. I'll do that. But now I'm going to wait and watch what you will do. That can be hard, especially if we're people who want to rush in and try to defeat the opposition in our own strength. I confess that too many times, far too often, that's me. I want to do it in my own strength. And I can tell you, though, whenever that's been the case, it's rarely ended well. Am I alone in that? Reading on, we find the people responding to this message from the Lord. Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground. This is verse 18. And all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Now, he bowed down with his face to the ground, and everybody joined him. He called them to prayer and fasting, and now he's worshiping, and they're joining him in that too. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and Korathites stood and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, in a very loud voice. Sounds like they were doing it together in unison. Maybe they were a choir. I wonder. This tells me that the people not only believed what they were told by God, they were relieved by what they were told by God. That ought to be us, shouldn't it? When we hear the word of the Lord, we should believe it and then be relieved by the promises that He gives us. We ought to be raising the roof with praise when we hear the promises of God to deliver us. Now picking up again in verse 20. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah, and the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you'll be upheld. Have faith in His prophets, and you'll be successful." Verse 21 says, "After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise Him for the splendor of His holiness as they went out to the head of the army, saying, 'Give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever.'" I think Jehoshaphat's like a praise leader. Right? I call him a rejoicing ruler, too. You'll see why. But again, he's leading them. He's directing them. He's saying, "Do as I do," and they're following that lead. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. I'm so thankful for the praise leaders we have in this church. Aren't you? I'm so thankful for the people who lead us to give worship to God, to Jesus, our King. Aren't you? We should give a praise offering to God for them. I think we really should. We should be thankful for the Jehoshaphats in our churches. Amen? We should. Now he sends out the infantrymen to go ahead, but not to pave the way as we might think. It would make sense for them to, you know, go ahead, and the infantrymen, the cavalry maybe, but what he does here doesn't sound like a very sound military offensive, and we've seen this time and again. Because again, they're going out ahead, singing. They're leading the praise with the infantrymen right there with them. But they're the ones leading it. And 22 says, "As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah. And they were defeated." Now notice that. The Lord set ambushes. "The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another." That sounds like the story we saw last week with Gideon and what God was doing. "When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped." Pardon me? They're singing and praising, and the Lord's giving them victory. They're just singing and praising, and the Lord is handling their enemy. Basically, again, God set them one against another, the enemy. They literally defeated themselves. Now, this reminds me of something I've shared with many of you before that happened years ago, and it had to do with my granddaughter, Abby, when she was just a little girl, 18 months old. An oncologist for her told me that her examination of the tumor revealed that the cancer cells were actually attacking one another. What? That's what she said. And though that was after a regimen of some chemo, she said it was the strangest thing she had ever saw. And she declared it to be a miracle. All I could say was praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, a lot of people were praying and praising God for what they believed He would do for this little girl. As many of you know, she just got married this past summer. Sings and plays in a praise team at their church, and she's a praise leader for the Lord. And she praises God every day, and so do we, for God's victory with her. Now back to our story. It took 3 days for the people of God to gather up the valuables left behind by the enemies. Imagine that. God has taken care of the enemy. They're no longer coming against them. But they left behind a whole lot of valuables. booty, we would call it. It took them 3 days to gather it up. And on the fourth day, verse 26 says, they assembled in the valley and praised the Lord. Well, that seems like a natural response, doesn't it, to such a blessing? But there's more here. In verse 27 and following, now it says, then, notice this, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem. For the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lutes and trumpets. The fear of God came upon all the kingdoms of the countries which were around them that opposed them when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace. Why? For his God had given them rest on every side. Amazing story, isn't it? It occurs to me that among the many lessons we could learn from it, perhaps the greatest is this. When God gives a victory, rejoice. How many of you could rejoice today over some victories God has given you in your life? How about a show of hands of those who could rejoice that God has given them a victory in their life? I don't think I see anyone who hasn't raised their hand. And again, the victory for you is real because you faced the problem, whatever it was. You should rejoice. We should do more than raise a hand. We should raise our hands in praise. Amen? And rejoicing to God for what he has done for us. Don't hold back. Pull out the stops. Beat the drum. Rattle the tambourine. Strum the guitar. Blow the horn. Pound the keys. Sing out loud. Ever hear the expression, jump at Jehoshaphat? You ever hear that? This is the guy that's evidently being referenced by that phrase, but my Bible doesn't say he jumped. I don't find that. I looked at several translations. Don't find that he jumped. But I have no trouble imagining that he leaped for joy. How about you? Can't you imagine that that's what he did? I also can't help but think of how when circumstances made him jumpy, he jumped into the arms of the Lord. Ever felt jumpy? Something's really troubling you, disturbing you, and you're nervous, you're full of anxiety about it. Jump in the arms of the Lord. Trust him. Trust him. Jehoshaphat needed the power of the Almighty. He realized it. He proclaimed it. We need the help of the Almighty too, don't we? Don't we? Rejoicing in what he's done already, but boy, don't other enemies come against us? Don't other things happen? Don't we wish it was one and done? But in life, there are tragedies, there are difficulties that come upon us. They do. In this world, we're not without trouble, but when the trouble comes, we have the Almighty on our side. Think about that. Jehoshaphat didn't have any superpowers. Again, he readily admitted it. Again, he said he was powerless. Said that right up front to stand up against his enemy. He did. Now I want you to listen to the Apostle Paul in Romans 8. This is verse 31 and following. If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It's God who's going to justify. Who is he that will condemn us? Well, Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of the Father. And he's interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, or danger, or sword? Verse 36, as it's written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, and all these things, what things? The trouble, the hardship, the persecution, the famine, the nakedness, the danger, the sword. We're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's my paraphrase. When ordinary people place their faith in the extraordinary thing God has already done for them in Christ, they win. They win. Why? Because the battle belongs to the Lord. Isn't that what's being said, really? The battle's won already. It belongs to the Lord. In Christ Jesus, He has won for us the victory. We're more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Praise be to God for that. Ordinary people, just like us, with sometimes what we might consider just some pretty ordinary faith, can benefit from the extraordinary gift of God's love in Christ. That's reason to rejoice, isn't it? That's reason to praise Him. And may I suggest something to you? You don't have to be a praise leader in a church to lead the praise in your home, at work. Oh, at work, got to do that? Yes, you can. In school, even maybe at the store, though I embarrass my wife sometimes by doing that. Okay. But just, you can praise the Lord. You can rejoice. Don't be shy about it. Proclaim the goodness of God and what He has done for you in Christ. And you might just find that a whole lot of people would join in. More people might sing along than you think would. They're just waiting for somebody to lead the way. Let's pray. Father God, thank You. Thank You for this, once again, amazing, amazing story in Scripture that we know is not just a story. It is what truly happened so many years ago. The way that You blessed the nation of Israel through Jehoshaphat. And Father, we thank You for the record that You've preserved for us, that we can see Your mighty work there. Help us to glean from it what we're supposed to learn from it what we can. Again, primarily just to rest in You, to rely upon You and to rejoice in You. Father, thank You. If You never delivered us from another enemy, I praise You, Father, and I believe we all praise You for delivering us from Satan's grasp. Father, for saving us for Yourself and for heaven. Thank You. We praise You. And we pray, Father, that those who don't yet know that wonderful blessing of being rescued by Jesus, that they'll come to know. And that we might be people who can lead them to that so they might join the praise as well. Thank You, Father. And all those who agree, rejoice with me as we say, thank You, Jesus. And amen.